Obama has said he's going to halve the budget. Do you think it's a little reminiscent of Clinton right before he decided to institute welfare reform, basically destroying a lot of, like, half of the welfare system in this country? I think Obama's going to take the same course.
There's nothing much in his budget to suggest otherwise. I mean, for example, he didn't really say much about it, you know, about the welfare system, but he did indicate that they're going to have to reconsider Social Security, for example. Well, you know, there's nothing much about Social Security that needs reconsideration. It's in pretty good financial shape, probably as good as it's been in its history. It's pretty well guaranteed for decades in advance, if there ever it will. As long as any of the famous baby boomers are around, Social Security will be completely adequate. So it's not for them, contrary to what's being said. If there is a long-term problem, which there probably is, there are minor adjustments that could take care of things. So why bring up Social Security at all? If it's an issue at all, it's a very minor one. I suspect the reason for bringing it up is that Social Security is regarded as a real threat by power centers, not because of what it does. You know, it's very efficient, low administrative costs, but for two reasons. One reason is that it helps the wrong people. It helps mostly poor people and disabled people and so on, so that's kind of already wrong, even though it has regressive tax. But I think a deeper reason is that Social Security is based on an idea that power centers find extremely threatening, namely solidarity, concern for others, community, and so on. The fundamental idea of Social Security is that we care about whether, say, the disabled widow across town has food to eat. And that kind of idea has to be driven out of people's heads. If people have a commitment to solidarity, mutual aid, support, and so on, that's dangerous, because that can lead to concern for other things. Like, as it's well known, for example, that markets just don't provide lots of options, and options which today are crucial options. So, for example, a market system permits you to decide whether to buy one brand of car or another, but the market doesn't permit you to decide, I don't want a car, I want a public transportation system. That's just not a choice made available on the market. And the same is true of a wide range of other matters of social significance, like whether to help the disabled widow across town. Okay, that's what that's what communities decide. That's what democracy is about. That's what social solidarity is about, and mutual aid and building institutions by people for the benefit of people. And all of that threatens, you know, the system of domination and control right at its heart. So there's a constant attack on Social Security, even though the pretexts are not worth paying attention to. And there are other questions in the budget. So, for example, the budget is called redistributive. I mean, very marginally it is so. But the way it's redistributive, to the extent that it is by slightly reducing the slightly increasing the tax responsibility of the extremely wealthy. You know, couple of percent, you know, and it's the increase is very marginal, doesn't get anywhere near back to what it was during the periods of high growth rate and so on. But, you know, that is slightly redistributive, but there are other ways to be redistributive which are more effective. For example, allowing workers to unionize. It's well known that where workers are allowed to unionize, and most of them want to, that does lead to better wages, better working conditions, better benefits, and so on, which is distributive. It also helps turn working people into more of a political force. instead of being atomized and separated, they're together. They can work together in principle. And not that unions function so wonderfully, but at least it's a move in that direction. And there is a potential legislation on the table that would help unionize, the employee free choice act, which Obama has said he's in favor of, but there's nothing about it in the budget. In fact, there's nothing in the budget at all, as far as I know, about improving opportunities to unionize, which is an effective redistributive goal. And there are other questions, too. There's a debate right now, it happens to be in this morning's papers, and we'll look at it, about whether Obama's being accused, even by Democrats, in fact, particularly by Democrats, of taking on too much. Well, he actually hasn't taken on very much, because the stimulus package, anybody would try to work out, maybe with one variation or another, and the same with the bailouts, which you can like or not, but any president was going to do it. But what is claimed is that he's adding on to it health care reform, which will be very expensive, you know, another hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's just not the time to do that. I mean, why would health care reform be more expensive? Well, it depends which options you pick. If the health care reforms maintain the privatized system, yeah, it's going to be very expensive because it's a hopelessly inefficient system, very costly. Its administrative costs are far beyond Medicare, the government system. So what that means is, well, he's going to maintain a system which we know is inefficient, expensive, has poor outcomes, but is very... is a great benefit to insurance companies, financial institutions, pharmaceutical industry, and so on. So, yeah, it's expensive. It doesn't have to be. I mean, it could save money. It could be a method of healthcare reform, can be a method of deficit reduction, namely by moving to an efficient system that, furthermore, provides healthcare to everyone. Although that's talked about, it's kind of partially one of the options. It's on the margins. And the main advocates of it are not even included in the groups that are discussing it. And if you look through it case after case, there are a lot of questions like that. I mean, take unionization again. This isn't in the budget, but take an example. Obama, a couple of months ago or weeks ago, wanted to make a gesture to show his solidarity with the labor movement, with workers. No, it's different with workers, not with the labor movement. And he went to visit an industrial plant in Illinois. The plant that he chose was Caterpillar. Now, there was some protest over that by human rights groups and the church groups and others because of Caterpillar's really brutal role in destroying what's left of Palestine. These are real weapons of mass destruction, these things, and they're used that way. So there were protests, but he went anyway. However, there's a deeper issue which never even was raised, which is an interesting, and probably has been forgotten, which is an interesting comment on the nature of our ideological indoctrination. I mean, Caterpillar was the first industrial organization to resort to SCAB, strike breakers, to break a major strike. That was in the 1980s. It was Reagan had already opened the doors with the air controllers, but this is the first manufacturing industry to do it. Now, that hadn't been done in generations, and in fact it was illegal in every industrial country except apartheid South Africa. But that was Caterpillar's achievement, helping to destroy a union by calling in scabs. And if you call in scabs, forget about strikes, obviously, or any labor action. Well, that's the plant that Obama went to visit. Now, it's possible he didn't know, because the level of indoctrination in our society is so profound that most people wouldn't even know that. Still, I think it's instructive. If you're interested in doing something redistributive, you don't go to a plant that made labor history by breaking the principle that you can't break strikes with scabs.